you're not careful, church would just be routine. Something that we need to get done, accomplished for the week, and check it off a bucket list. But going to the house of God is a lot greater than checking off a bucket list for me. I need it in my heart and in my life and in my spirit. Church is not something that I do on Sunday. I try to apply that type of living on Monday, ask my family. I try to. Brother Conrad, a lot like you, son, I fall short, but I'm glad I got a God I can fall on my knees to. Say, Lord, help me, a sinner. And there's nobody here this morning that's perfect. There's nobody here that's on a limb above anybody else. We shall all stand even at the foot of Calvary. Psalms 145, now I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You may be seated this morning. Father, thank you for the time together. I want to thank you, God, you saved me one day. And then, Lord, I want to thank you way back yonder at Sandy Flat Baptist Church. God, over there in that little pine thicket, you called me to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I fell short many times in my Christian walk, but God, you have never failed short. And I thank you for proving yourself to be faithful. Help us now in the Word of God this morning. Help us to be a blessing to the lives of the people of God. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. This morning, David starts talking about the greatness of God and the praising of God. We start out in Psalms 145 and then it seems like that David's sermon of praise caught a hold. Praise simply means and giving thankfulness and giving honor, giving respect, standing in the awe of the greatness of God and in the fear of God. And here David's song or David's message must have really caught hold because look in Psalms 146, right to the right. He starts out this psalm and he says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. He said, soul, I want to praise God and it don't matter if anybody else is going to praise Him. But for me and my house, we're going to praise the Lord. And he said, soul, I want to praise God today. Then it picks up in Psalms 147. He says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praise is comely. God deserves our praise and God is honored in our praise and God is looking for our praise. So here David writes in Psalms 146, praise the Lord. Psalms 147, praise ye the Lord. Psalms 148, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens and praise Him in the heights. Then he says 149, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and praise in the congregation of the saints. And then he closes in Psalms 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Honey, let me tell you, if you can shout down at the ball fields and if you can shout out yonder at the events of the world, let me tell you, may God help us if we don't lift our voices in praise and thank Him for going to bloody Calvary and dying for your sin and my sin. I'm telling you, honey, we got a God that is worth praising this morning. So David's praise caught hold. You say, well, preacher, he was praising Him in the good times. No, David was praising Him not only in the good times, but he was praising Him in the hard times. I've noticed when I start feeling sorry for myself, then life don't get any better. But when I start praising Him and thanking Him for how good He's been to me, let me tell you, life is hard, but honey, it sure does help when you look down the road and see how good God's been to you and throw your hands up and say, Lord, thank You for being good to me. In Psalms 145, there's something there that I want to get across this morning. You'll notice after Psalms 145, David wrote the other five Psalms starting in praise the Lord. Now he said in Psalms 145, verse 1, I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I'll bless Thy name forever and ever. He said, every day will I bless Thee and I'll praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. So with this wonderful God this morning, David highlights some characteristics about the God of this Bible and the reason we are to praise Him. And that's what we want to preach on this morning, on praise Him. Now watch this. First of all, David said, I want to praise God because of the Lord's greatness. Now, in verse 1, look who he wants to praise. He says simply, I will extol thee, my God. He said he's a personal Savior. I want to ask you today, is he your personal Savior? Have you ever come to God by grace through faith and trusted what He gave you to get you to where He is, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ? For there is no other name given unto men among heaven whereby men must be saved except the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's greatness, who He wants to praise. He said, He's my personal Savior. And then he said this, not only my God, but O King. Not only is he his personal Savior, but he is his permanent sovereign. He cried him, O King. You say, preacher, do you believe in Lordship salvation? I sure do. Honey, he's not your Savior one day and Lord the next day. For he is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God is everything. And I'm glad this morning that David said, I want to tell you who I want to praise. Then he said, I want to tell you not only who I want to praise, but I want to tell you when I want to praise. Look in verse 2. Every day will I bless thee, and I'll praise thy name forever and ever. When he wants to praise. Now watch this. Some of you older people can relate to this. You millennials can't relate to this. But now watch, when he wants to pray, look at the efforts of his praise every day. My daddy had a clock. He could wind it and it would run about 25 or 30 days. Then I bought an older clock for the mantle. Brother Mike, you have to wind it about every 14 days. But David is reminding us, there must be effort in our praise every day. Honey, let me tell you, we're not like one of them old clocks you gotta wind up every 30 days. You gotta put something in it every day. You gotta see about it. And I noticed that old clock that I had to wind every 30 days. I'd look, Brother Vince, and it was wound down. You know why? Because I didn't have no effort in it every day. But if I knew that clock was going to wind down tomorrow, I'd be winding it up tonight. And can I tell you today, David simply said not only who I want to praise, but when I want to praise. He said every day there's the effort of praise. Then watch this. He said, will I bless thee? There's the engagement of praise. You know, our church, they love fiery preachers. They love to see heaven fall and the fire fall. But I've noticed this about our church lately. People love to see the fire fall, but they don't want to get in on the fire falling. Can I tell you today, friend, we must engage in what we're doing when we're at the house of God. Quit looking at somebody else enjoying God and get in on it yourself. The engagement of prayer. I'm going to get in it on myself. the effort of praise. Every day I gotta realize, honey, this cork inside of me, it needs daily maintenance every day of my life. There is the effort of praise, the engagement of praise. He said, will I? And now watch this. Here's the endurance of praise in verse 2. He said, I will praise thy name forever and ever. I looked this morning in Revelation 4. It hadn't changed in heaven neither. For the Bible said that He is still the Lord forever and ever and ever. And here David is teaching us about the greatness of the Lord. He said not only who I want to praise, when I want to praise, but look in verse 3, he says this is why I want to praise. He said in verse 3, great is the Lord. Look at the name of His greatness. Folks, there's nobody like the Lord. There's great people here. God has allowed my paths across with some great Christians, great people. But there's nobody like the Lord. And there is the name of His greatness. And then look in verse 3, and greatly to be praised. There's the noise of His greatness. This ought to be the quietest place, or this ought to be the loudest place in this town, not the quietest place. The name of His greatness, the noise of His greatness. Well, preacher, I don't like that noise in church. No, you need it or you'll go to sleep. Thank God we go to noise at church and somebody's making the right kind of sound. Thank God it ain't a bunch of temporary boys on the stage, happy clappy. We got something to praise Him about. He saved us. He's soon to come for us. And this morning, He said, I want to tell you why I want to praise Him. Because the name of His greatness, the noise of the greatness. And look, verse 3, the now of His greatness. And His greatness is unsearchable. God's not give out a greatness. God is just as great this morning as He's ever been great. Nobody's ever going to take greatness from Him. And so here, why He wants to praise Him. Now watch. The name of His greatness, the noise of His greatness, the now of His greatness, and that's what we need to get a hold. God's great right now. But now the need of His greatness. Look in verse 4. Underline this if you write in your Bibles. Very impactful. One generation shall praise Thy works to another and shall declare Thy mighty acts. The need of His greatness. A generation to another. We need to be raising a generation that knows how to praise. We need to be raising a generation that knows how to preach. We need to be raising a generation that knows how to pray. He said one generation should tell the other generation about it. Young families, if you don't bring your children to church, how can they ever be taught how to go to church? David, this Psalms 145 is loaded. He talks about the Lord's greatness, who He wants to praise, when He wants to praise, and why He wants to praise. Now, something changes in our Bible when He makes this delivery. Look, if you would, in verse number 8, and He says, the Lord is gracious. Why do we need to praise Him, preacher? Not only because of the Lord's gratefulness, but secondly, because of the Lord's graciousness. Because of the Lord's graciousness. Look in verse 8. The Lord is gracious. Is He not? Is there anybody here that you feel like that you deserve more than what you got? If you feel that way, your heart's not right. God's not the beggar. We're the beggar. Our culture has got that out of order. God does the blessing. We do the praising and the thankfulness. David said, I want to let you know the Lord
and His greatness. But I don't want to leave this sermon without telling you the Lord and His graciousness. Look what He says about His grace. Verse 8. Watch this. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. I sure am glad He's full of compassion. Full of compassion. He can sympathize with where you are this morning. Not only can He, but He will sympathize with you. Because He's full of compassion. You ever met anybody you wish they had a little compassion? I would go a little further, but I got to go home and eat dinner with my wife this morning. I won't say nothing else. Oh, I'll go and say it. I love to whine. I'm one of the world's greatest whiners. I don't mean to be, but I got that gene pool in me. I don't like it. Have to work on it. Sometimes when they say, "You're just whining, move on." Sometimes you say, "Honey, it feels so good somebody to have a little compassion." "Honey, just a little compassion." But let me tell you, the Lord don't have a little compassion, honey. I come to tell you, He's full of compassion. Full of compassion. And then, watch this, He's slow to anger. I sure am glad He is. He's slow to anger. So easy to fly off the handle. I'm glad God has got a lot better control than I do. And then, watch this, the Lord's graciousness, He's full of compassion, He's slow to anger. Oh, I'm so glad this is in the Bible. Oh, my goodness, and He is of great mercy. Look why the King James writer said this. It's not there by accident. Of great mercy. You hear people, "I love to play golf." You'll notice at all the big tour events, they'll call them up on the first tee box. "Brother Michael, Brother Jacob," they will announce, and they'll say, "This is him of where they are." Let me tell you who He is. He is of great mercy. I'm glad that's not only where He's from, but that's who He is. Of great mercy. Now, I'm going to skip all these others. And I'm going to get to one place. I'm going to get Miss Amy to come and sing. I'm going to finish this sermon another day, but this is where the Lord's wanting me to land this message at this morning. And I want you to look last a little bit, certainly not leastly, in verse number 18. David changes his writing. And he listed many times the Lord is in this passage. But I want to highlight this last thought in this sermon. The Lord's greatness, the Lord's graciousness. But look at the Lord's guarantee in verse 18. It is so impactful. The Lord is nigh unto all them, watch, that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth, He will, watch this, young families, older families, watch this, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord's guarantee. What do you see here, preacher? This is what I see. There is the time of calling. He said, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him." I want to ask you something. How many people call upon you in your life? Many times you get so bogged down and burdened because it's not enough of you to go around. But you think about God just a minute. He says, I want you to know that I'm very much available unto all of those that call unto me. I'm glad there's never a call waiting with Him. I'm glad there's never a call back tomorrow. But He said, I want every one of y'all to know this morning out of Psalms 145, there is simply the time of the call. And then in verse 18, notice the truth of this call. He says, the Lord is nigh, or He's close to all them that call upon Him, watch, in truth. You know, I've noticed this about serving the Lord. This is why a lot of people don't like my kind of preaching or my style of preaching, that some don't like it, because I'm transparent. I don't pull many punches. And I want to tell you this, I've noticed this about my life. I might as well tell God everything, because He knows it all anyway. You remember when Adam sinned in the garden, he ran, and the worst thing he wanted to do was tell God the truth. He said, Adam, where art thou? Adam got to talking with Him. And I noticed this, not only the time of the call, all that a call, and the truth of the call, but did you see what He said? There's the trust of the call. He said, let me tell you what I'll do. I'll be so good to you, and I'll give you your desires and your dreams if you'll just fear me and keep me where I'm supposed to be. This morning, David wrote a very powerful message in Psalms 145. He says, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. God has done amazing things for me. Has He done anything for you? I get to thinking about the humble beginnings of our marriage 40 years this December. I got to thinking where we'd started, how we applied the Scriptures in our life, and how God has so blessed His Word in our life. I get to thinking about our church, such humble beginnings, 5 families on a high chair in a home, to a dress shop, to a property that is so beautiful. Because we fear Him and respect Him and give Him the right of way. Can I tell you, God's not wanting to press anything on you. He just wants you to respond to His Word. Appropriate those things in our life and serve Him and honor Him. And when we get together, we ought to praise Him and thank Him how good He's been. Miss Amy, I want you to just sing something for us this morning. I'd love to open these altars up today. It'd be a good morning if you'd just come and say, Lord, thank You. Because He is a wonderful God. You may think things are really bad at your house, but it won't take you long to look down the road at somebody else's house to let you realize how good God has been to you. The Lord's greatness, He can do anything. The Lord's graciousness and the Lord's guarantee. He said, you can call on me. If you'll be truthful to me, I'll listen to you. And I'll help you. Miss Amy, you sing. Our altar's open this morning. Would you come this morning? Would you just mind the Lord? Maybe you want to move out of your seat and just come thank Him today. Would you do that out of your heart this morning? And simply mind the Lord. Would you do that while we sing this morning? Would you come? Thank you, Lord.